It's the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with hosts Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. Your announcer, Zach Caton, and we're coming to you live on tape from the beautifully appointed media center at Visit Salt Lake. Wouldn't you like to record in a studio like this? Like this? Like, imagine I'm gesturing expansively. And maybe you can. Visit www.visitsaltlake.com for more information. Our guest today is Diana Young. Diana is the Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at Prince Perelson, a Salt Lake firm that recruits top talent for firms nationwide. Yes, Diana is a corporate headhunter. How does a company find top talent, and how does Diana find jobs for top talent? Let's find out, shall we?
Well, I remember being interviewed for a position one time, and the guy stood up after a few minutes from the side of the desk and said, "Get out." No, I made that up.
Oh.
I made that up.
Get out of here right now.
I used to have to.
Okay, you're quick.
And now, here are your hosts, Jimmy and Bill.
Shall we move it?
Yeah.
All right, let's, Dawson. Are we rolling, Dawson?
We're going.
Yeah, we've actually been rolling for a few minutes.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, and that's the way Dawson operates. He just starts, he hopes to catch us saying something s***. You know, that's right. I really want, and I'm there, I just apologize, I'm sorry. We will meet our guest in just a few moments. Her name is Diana Young. But let's thank you, everybody who's tuning into this on YouTube or just listening to it on your favorite podcast platform. We really appreciate it. Tell your friends. Get them to listen, too. The more people listen, the better things go for us, and the better things will go for you. I promise.
Better the wine.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll have better wine.
That's right.
Let's see. Oh, we have a sponsor. I want to thank Beehive Cheese. I have a copy to read for Beehive Cheese.
Aha.
In a league of its own, Utah's Beehive Cheese elevates humble cheddar to artisanal greatness with spirited flavors that spark conversation, producing award-winning cheeses that bring friends and family together. Beehive Cheese earned first place at the 2022 American Cheese Society competition and were named makers of the best American cheese at the World Cheese Awards 2021. Earning a slow food snail of approval late 2022, Beehive Cheese is also one of only seven American cheese makers to be B Corp certified.
B Corp, we still need to figure out what that means.
I know what it means.
Aha!
Dawson did a little bit of research. Want to know what B Corp certified is? B Corp certification is a designation that a business is meeting high standards of verified performance, accountability, and transparency on factors from employee benefits and charitable giving to supply chain practices and input materials.
Interesting.
To B Corp.
To B Corp.
To B Corp.
Certification.
And this is what kind of cheese, Jimmy?
This is our Hatch chili infused. So they're using their Promontory cheddar and they're rubbing it and even throughout the Hatch chili. So it's got a bit of a rich spiciness to it and we're featuring it with a nice little day owl rosé.
That's very good.
Rosé all day.
Now let's meet our guest officially, shall we? Her name is Diana Young. She's Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for Prince Perelson. Prince Perelson Associates. I read through all of the material you gave me, and I have to ask, are you a headhunter?
Yes.
That's really what you are.
Yes.
You are a recruiter.
Yeah, but same difference.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing it for 27 years, although the last 2 years I moved into the strategic partnership role where I am now bringing in business for all of the recruiters instead of doing the full desk. I ran the temporary division for about, you know, not 25 years, but close to it.
How does one get into this business of being a headhunter, recruiting people for businesses?
You know, I mean, mine was just serendipitous, I think. I had known Jill Perelson, who's the owner of Prince Perelson, when I was working at another company years ago here in Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. And I left there to start a company with some other people from there. And then I decided I needed a part-time job because I needed to make a little bit more money because we were just trying, you know, getting this plant built. But anyway, And I went into, because I applied to a position that they had listed for part-time, and I went in there and she walked by and said, Diana, what are you doing here? And I was like, Jill, what are you doing here? And I was filling out the application. I mean, it was really, it was crazy. And so she said, well, what, come talk to me. And so, you know, they said, well, why don't you work for us? She had just opened Prince Perelson and Associates. That was 1992 in May, right during that first month. I know, it was just crazy. And so I helped with some marketing. At the time, you had to look up the jobs that were posted by companies in the Sunday newspaper. They posted the positions every Sunday.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so her mother would circle the ones that we hadn't contacted. I'd do up these marketing letters,
rather
send
than the
them
coupons
out.
You circle.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
So you start out doing this by, I mean, one of your main functions was to find businesses that needed people, and I guess the pitch to that business is, well, sure, you can put it in the paper, but it's small print and it's in the back and.
But that's how it was done back then, right? So it's evolved.
But
of course.
But we as a recruiting firm, we can actually find you people that you need rather than just having them stumble across it in the in the paper.
Yes, because what we do is we interview people all day long, every day. And I'm not doing that now. Since a year ago, January, I moved into this other role. But for 25 years, that's what I did.
So you created a pool
and
of candidates through the interviewing process.
Each of the recruiters do. And we all specialize in different areas.
To explain, how many recruiters are there in this company, approximately?
Approximately, probably 15 or 20.
15 or 20, okay. And you have a pool, do you have any idea?
A database.
How big is that?
Oh, it's been since 1992, so it's been 32 years.
Yeah. So now businesses, do they mostly come to you, or do you have to go to them? It happens both ways.
So we're locally owned and operated, and so we have a really good reputation here in Utah. You know, there's a lot of other recruiting firms, there's national recruiting firms. We do national searches and such, but our main, you know, focus is Wasatch Front from Logan, you know, down to St. George. But
let's talk about the kinds of businesses.
Okay.
The kinds of businesses you recruit for. Is it a wide variety?
Yes. It's really any industry. It's any industry. We don't do hospitality. We did a long time ago. Mm-hmm. We don't do contract laborers.
Hospitality meaning restaurants and.
We've done chefs before, but we haven't done them for a long time. Mm-hmm. But we had a hospitality division where we'd find servers for, you know,
really?
A restaurant way back in 90. That was probably 98, 99. Mm. And so we don't do that anymore.
Is this a sophisticated employment agency, essentially?
It's very professional.
It's essentially an employment agency in a way, but it's a step up from that.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me an idea of the range. Say, we just talked about hospitality, which you don't do anymore.
Right.
But the kinds of positions.
Okay, we do executive search, we do IT, accounting and finance, all levels, legal, HR, manufacturing, operations.
No entertainment?
No.
No entertainment.
Administrative, you know, executive assistants, receptionist, customer service, and we have different verticals, and we have recruiters that specialize in the different verticals.
What does that mean, different verticals?
So we have the accounting and finance division, but we kind of have two parts, that one with lower levels or temp to hire, and then
Salary ranges, ranges is what you're talking about.
Right, exactly, you're right.
So you'll recruit people that'll work hourly wage?
Uh-huh.
And you will recruit that up to salaried.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the highest, just any idea of what the highest salary you've recruited for? You personally, maybe.
I haven't gone as high as the executive recruiters. You know, their highest is probably $250,000, $300,000. Mm-hmm. And I think that's salary without the whole package even. Mm-hmm. But it varies for sure.
Does it work the other way too? Do potential people who want to work come to you as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how does that happen?
By social media, LinkedIn, Indeed. You know, we have a reputation. We have people that, I mean, seriously, I've interviewed people from 25 years ago, and they'll all of a sudden be looking for a job, and they'll come back to me time and time again if they've lost their jobs or whatever. They refer. It's a big referral. Referrals are really big for us because we've been around for so long, and we had a lot have a lot of tenure there with the recruiters mm-hmm. and with the staff. So,
well, I can see how it's beneficial for an organization, a company. They can actually lower their HR department because they're outsourcing the recruiting.
Yes.
And you help manage that.
It does cost them money, but the time that it takes when you put an ad out and you have 100 or 200 resumes, somebody has to go through that.
Yeah.
And we are interviewing, literally interviewing people in person.
Mm-hmm.
When the pandemic hit, it was, you know, virtual.
Yeah.
Before that, everybody came into our office. Mm. And now the recruiters do both ways. But for a few years, because of the pandemic, it was all virtual.
Yeah. Do you ever... Is it ethical to poach people from?
Yes.
Do you poach people from?
Yes.
Like
yes.
You say, so I know somebody who's looking for a high-level executive assistant,
mm-hmm.
and I know one who's working for this mm-hmm. firm over here, and I'm going to call them.
Right.
And that's ethical?
That's ethical. What companies usually don't want to do because of good business practices is poach from their, their
competitors,
so to speak, or people in the same space as them.
That can get dangerous.
So,
it can expose you to
So they call us because they're like, well, where would you like to see people out of, or like financial firms, right?
Yeah.
Financial firms or banks or, financial institutions. It's like, okay, they're looking for the same kind of people.
Yeah.
And so you start headhunting.
Yeah. Or I go, every once in a while I have to go from my office over to so-and-so in another business.
Mm-hmm.
And, that assistant he's got working for him is really something. Do you think maybe that's okay to do? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll call and see what's mm-hmm. going on.
We do not poach out of our own client companies. I'm touching my mic there.
Yeah.
And, that's a no-no. If mm-hmm. we place somebody or we have an active client, we do not take put people in the front mm-hmm. door and take them out the back door.
That's just good business. You don't want to interrupt that relationship.
No, exactly. And for us, being in Utah and everybody, so many people know us, and we have a reputation to uphold, and it's just the way we work.
So say somebody's listening to this, watching this right now, mm-hmm. And they're thinking, I really need a job, and I should contact your company. How do they do that?
Perelson.com.
Perelson.com.
Mm-hmm. And they can go into our website and look for jobs that we mm-hmm. have posted that are available right now, make an appointment to meet with a recruiter. And so depending on what their background is or what they're looking for, again, we have recruiters that specialize in all the different areas
right.
that I was mentioning before.
That's interesting.
Because then they get the candidates, we call them candidates, right, the mm-hmm. employees, who they've worked with before, they've talked to before, who have they've interviewed them before.
Mm.
And so they have that knowingness of those people
mm-hmm.
that they can reach out for other positions, that they may not be good for one position we have that we're looking for somebody right now for, but they might be good for someone else, or they might be for a company that it's like, oh, I know one of my clients might really want to see this person. So,
mm-hmm. Do you ever get
really
the some company contacts you and says, I need, let's just say an executive assistant again,
uh-huh.
For this particular kind of business, we make sprinkler heads, mm-hmm. but I need an executive assistant, and you go, we've got somebody in our pool already. I don't need to go look for some. I think I know somebody mm-hmm. that we've got that might be perfect for that. And you get a hold of that person, and do they say, I didn't ever think you'd call me.
Mm-hmm.
You interviewed me 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Does
that kind of, happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have to know we're doing the best that we can, but also when companies are paying us to find them people, they're looking for specific a specific skill set, specific experience. But for us interviewing candidates, you really get to know that person. And that's what I loved doing and what I missed so much about. I was dealing with the clients, but I was also dealing with the people. And I loved building those relationships with both, right?
Right.
And I loved making people feel like they weren't just a number, and I really, even if I didn't have something for them, I wanted them to know, I would keep an eye out for them. And
well, you're a real passionate person, I can tell by just talking to you. So how do you, you celebrate the highs, but you have to feel the lows too if somebody
like
didn't.
Like the economy or something goes,
somebody doesn't get the, that you mm-hmm. pitched them and it didn't go
their
way.
Oh, they're crying because they've been in the top three, in the top two, why can't they make it? And I'm like, I'm telling you, there's a reason why you haven't gotten any of those jobs. You are making the interviews, just give it time. And the next thing you know.
Nails it.
Yeah.
Is there some overall, that kind of applies across all of these candidates, certain things that you look for in any kind of a candidate, certain qualities or values or...
You know, like you were talking to the sprinkler head company or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's companies where that we have to place people in that are more of a professional level, and then there's others that are more of the, you know, want to go in casual clothing. The company allows that, you know, so you really have to be good.
You can bring your dog in, naked in
sure.
the back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's our company.
our
producer brings our dog every day.
And we have some clients that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever, you must interview people that you... Do you ever just tell them, no, we're not going to try to place you anywhere?
If they've done
not a good fit or something.
Well, we have to do that if it's not the right fit and they're wanting this specific position that we posted for.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a way of doing that kindly and, you know, just know this is not, you're not the right fit for this position, but,
sure.
You know, we'll look for one that is.
You don't do it because I remember being interviewed for a position one time and the guy stood up after a few minutes from the side of the desk and said, get out. No, I made that up.
Oh.
I made that up.
Get out of here right now.
I used to have to.
Okay, you're quick.
But here's a weird story. I used to have to hire people when I first started in radio. I had to interview people. I was sort of a manager and had to interview people for entry level positions at a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to get people because it was just it was like you're paying them at that time $6 an hour, $8 an hour, something like that. And they'd have to work weird hours, you know, and things like that. And they were just a big turnover. So I was always interviewing people. But so I interviewed this one guy and my God, this guy is great. He's smart. He's perfect. He's willing to work for $8 an hour. He's willing to work from midnight to 6. That's great. I said, you're hired. You can start tomorrow. He didn't show up. I mean, what the hell? What happened with this guy?
That's kind of...
And then I saw in the newspaper, there had been a big street fight. This is absolutely true. He'd run into his house, taken a samurai sword off the wall, ran out, and cut a guy's head off practically.
Oh, my goodness.
Really? True story.
That is crazy.
And I said, that's the guy I was...
That's the guy I hired.
That's the one that was supposed to show up this morning.
Well, let me know when you get out of jail. The job's still there.
So
he's not getting out of jail.
If I had been able to employ a recruiting firm, I wouldn't have had to deal with that at all.
Right. You know, because we have to also, depending on the companies, if they want us to run a background check or they want us to do a drug screen, you know.
Sure.
We could do that too. So, yeah. But
I was a candidate placed by Diana's company once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was really a great experience because you get interviewed by the recruiter. One of the individuals was assigned
to me. So did you go to the firm?
Went to the firm.
You went there.
Met with her at the office. Mm-hmm. And I was then placed about a half a month later. It was the organization. Remember the phone company called Nextel?
Sure.
They had the,
oh my gosh,
the
yes.
mobile phone, but then they also had the walkie.
Yeah.
Talkie with it. Like, so you
one of our clients.
Yeah, one of your clients. So because I had technology background at the time, it was...
Which you don't have anymore.
Don't have anymore. One technology background. And it was down to two people. And I went in, the district manager from Denver or somewhere came out. And it was for a salesperson, if I recall correctly, that could, was a new service for Nextel, for small businesses to be able to allow for the first time text message, convert emails into text to appear over the walkie.
Yeah.
So they said it's going to be great. I said, well, who am I going to be soliciting? Who's the potential client? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, think of all the landscapers, the painters, anybody that has trucks, mm-hmm. your plumbers, your electricians for all those companies. I'm like, yeah, I know they have that, but in order, because I had the technology background, in order to do that, what's the platform that you got to send that email through? They're like, all they need is Microsoft Exchange Server. And I'm like, these guys aren't going to have Exchange Server. That's a server. That's like an $1,800 service you need an IT guy. So I'm like getting all too geeky technology. And I'm like, they're not going to be able to... That is not your pool, because they're not going to have that. Everyone's working from a single computer at their home or in a single business. They're not going to have that main software.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically backed out of the, I said, you're going to be looking for a position, or you're going to be blaming this guy in like 10 months because you're not making your numbers.
Yep.
And I was saying this to the district guy. He's like, well, thank you very much for your time. Your recruiter calls. He's like, Jimmy, what the hell did you say to this guy? I said, I set him straight. Sure enough, a year later, position wasn't there anymore. I remember running into her at one of the functions.
Way.
Yeah, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I saved everybody some time, especially myself.
I think the company wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
I remember. Next that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was back in
After WGU? After you went to WGU? Didn't you go to WGU? Where did you go?
No, I worked for a company up in Park City.
School. Where was your online school?
Yeah, I went to University of Utah just primarily, but
Let's ask you one more question about employment and recruiting and all of that. You probably have a pretty good handle on what the market is like right now, what unemployment rate is, current market for jobs, what both locally and probably nationwide.
Yeah, locally it's about 2.8%. I think nationwide it's 3.7%.
So that makes it hard to find a job because...
it's just everything has changed since the pandemic, you know. Everybody, you know, nobody went into the office. They all went home. So many people got to work from home, and they thought they would forever work from home. And now there's so many companies trying to get them back in the office. I'm not sure what happened to the mentality of some people from that pandemic, where they just feel entitled and they have this list.
You mean employees?
Employees, yeah, where they have this list of, you know, I only want to work in the office 2 days a week. I don't want to drive this many miles past my house. You know, it's just a strange times, but yet there's also people out there willing and able, you know, to do jobs.
Yeah, put me in the game, coach. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
so you think it's possible that if you want a job, you can find a job?
Depending on your skill set, and if you're looking for the right type of job, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Let's talk about food, shall we, Jimmy?
Yes.
Let's talk about food now. This is the Let's Go Eat and Drink
We're
podcast.
Doing our fair share part on the drink part.
Cheers again. Thank you.
That's very good.
Where has
very good
been
cheese.
Your the strangest food that you've had, whether you liked it or not, like the strangest situation?
The strangest
the food.
Was frog legs. I was in Paris.
Oh, come on! Just tastes like chicken, right?
Kinda, yeah. I'm not going to say it didn't taste good. It was a good restaurant. And
did you know what you knew what you had ordered?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we wanted to try it.
Yeah,
nice.
I think I was like 94. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And it was good.
Uh huh. Yeah. I mean, not something I'd.
Now, yet. Have you had it since?
No.
Okay. When they serve them, they bring them out, and it's you can tell those are big damn frog legs, right?
Yeah. And they're just kind of crispy or something.
I guess I would try it, but
yeah, I mean, because I knew, you know, it wasn't horrible because of the people we were with. Yeah.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Me?
You?
Pho. It was, you know, the noodle dish with the broth, and it was a cartilage pho.
Oh yeah.
So that cartilage, it was just, and I can eat anything. But that was tough for me.
You can get that here in town.
Right? Yeah, that's where I first had it.
Pho with cartilage.
Yeah, that's the last time he's ever had it.
Yeah, yeah, that was the last time. I liked the broth, but chewy part of it just wasn't enjoyable.
I think the strangest thing I have ever eaten is, so my father, who's no longer with us, considered himself to be a food adventurer and a gourmand and stuff. I mean, I've eaten fried crickets and chocolate covered bumblebees and ants and stuff like that. But one time he had a 1,000-year-old egg.
Oh.
And now a 1,000-year-old egg, they in China, they put eggs in this like clay and bury them, and then they dig them up. They're not 1,000 years, but that's I don't know. But
like,
they
wow,
that's just what they call them. And they dig them up after they have essentially gone bad. I mean, they're so what it looks like is a black. It's an egg, and it's still squishy, but it's like obsidian. It looks the color of obsidian, you know, black, deep black, and it smells like a rotten egg.
Oh.
Whoa.
And
that sulfur kind of just, oof.
What they do with it is they use just little bits of shavings of it in various things, you know, as a flavoring. But I didn't know that. And my father, who I didn't care for very much, and he didn't care for me, said, here, try this. It's a 1,000-year-old egg from China. Okay. Okay. Smells like a rotten egg. I don't know if I want to eat it. Well, he said the Chinese eat them all the time. Well, okay. I take a big bite of this thing. And it was... And it was, you know what it tastes like? A rotten egg.
It tastes like a rotten egg.
No.
You didn't swallow it, did you?
No. No.
Like, yeah, not going there.
Let's see. We have this little questionnaire here. Should we want to go over a couple of these things?
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite wine, spirit, beer?
I go on these kicks. I love white wines right now. Red wines give me headaches. Mm. So I love a Sauvignon Blanc. But since today's Valentine's Day, thank you both of you for having a rosé here for
me. Diane's recommendation. She's like, Jimmy, why don't we do a little rosé? I'm like, you know, that's a wonderful idea.
At first I said Sauvignon Blanc, and then I like called him back. Well, wait. Did you get
it? You and I are vodka.
I like vodka.
You and I are martini opposites, though. You like a vodka martini?
That's too strong for me. I like vodka.
Vodka soda, Tito's soda, a little lime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a gin
exactly.
gin martini.
Lots of lime, extra lime.
And you like cheese? Love cheese?
I love cheese.
There are some cheeses. What's it? There's some cheese that's again about rotten food where worms. Do you know that cheese? I'll have to look this up for next time.
I know some strong flavored cheeses, but gosh.
Yeah, I've just read about it. I've never eaten
worms.
Yeah, it's see frog legs. We got that. What's your favorite meal, maybe?
Oh my gosh, I haven't had a meal I didn't like. I love food. I know I don't look like I do, but I love food. You can ask anybody that knows me. I love food and. Yeah, I'm a foodie. I consider myself a foodie.
Best dining experience in the world?
Oh my gosh. Lots.
When you were at Current
Italy,
Fish and Oyster, when I
Current
was on there,
great.
That was a lot of fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Putting a plug in for Current Harbor. I love Harbor. Mm-hmm. I love Kimmy's. Mm-hmm. I love lots of food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do.
I don't think
there's anything I really don't like. I like liver and onions.
Nice.
Really?
She's a New Yorker girl, that's why.
No liver and onions for this guy. I've tried, but can't.
I won't tell you about the cow's tongue, though. I'm done with cow's
tongue. I like cow's tongue, okay.
Well. I used to, until I was looking at it one time when my mother made it. And I was 16 years old, and we'd been eating it forever, and all of a sudden I like really realized what it was. Oh my gosh, I've been eating this whole time.
If you don't know, it's just, but then you look at it and you go, that's a tongue.
Yeah, kind of like the rotten black egg.
Yeah.
Dawson, can we do a break here real quick?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you forget your splash of news?
No, unexpectedly. No? I need to use the restroom.
Yes, we are rolling in. I don't know if we'll... Are we acknowledging that we took a little break so that my co-host could go pee?
We don't need to. No.
Does he mind? Do you mind?
No.
I didn't
at
see
all.
You leave.
Did you go somewhere?
No.
Oh wait, that might make it worse.
We just stayed here and had a nice chat while you tinkled.
Yeah, I had to go tinkle. And water the bushes.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it time for a splash of news?
I think it is.
A splash of news.
Okay, yeah. Jimmy.
So what we like to do is a little, I have two stories here. Some fun things in the beverage industry.
All right.
First, lobster vodka. This one Dawson sent over to me. Thank you, Dawson. So there's a lobster vodka is the latest flavor of vodka on the market. A Nova Scotian distillery in Canada called Black Harbor Distillers, it was established in about 2018, produces a lobster vodka. Black Harbor imports from across Canada and the world to assist in producing exceptional blended spirits. Their process includes then a slow charcoal filter, refining and polishing spirits to prepare for the final stage of blending with superior ingredients from Nova Scotia and across Canada. So this lobster vodka is produced to celebrate Nova Scotia's Lobster Crawl Month, where you can experience...
I'd be in heaven.
Yeah, right? Mm. Where you can experience the taste of true maritime delicacy with tastes of lobster, butter, and garlic.
Oh, yeah.
I can't quite feature it.
It's a clear spirit. It's not like creamy or anything.
And it, but what?
Does, how they infuse it?
Yeah. They do they really? I mean, is that what they do, or we don't know that yet?
Yeah, so they have a base spirit, and they'll infuse. Now, what you can do is steep some of those flavors to make a concentrate, and then you blend that in, and then you can do a filter to clarify the spirit, but leaving behind the flavors. Mm. So that's likely what they're doing. They do other spirits. This young lady, when I was reading the story, she started her company as a freshman at university. And this was in 2018, so she must be a graduate now. And kind of neat. Next time you're in Nova Scotia, you got to check it out.
Next time I'm in Nova Scotia.
next
it's my annual trip to Nova Scotia.
Apparently,
I might go for lobster and that.
Yeah, there's a festival.
Anything else, Jim?
Clinking wine glasses.
Okay.
All right. Although some believe clinking was invented to ward off evil spirits, the real reason behind it seems more mundane. As the manufacturing of fine glasses became almost an art, clinking started to catch on as the beautiful sound of stemware became far more appealing than any past customs.
Let's try that.
Let's do that.
Do you ever break a glass doing that?
Yeah, I've seen glasses break.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Or holding too many glasses in a hand, you can break the stem on the very fine and thin glass. And the thinner the mouth here, the quality of a glass, if you just run your nail on the inside, the smoother, the higher quality of the glass. There's this turbulence effect when you put wine, and if it goes too much turbulence, it's affecting the flavor characteristic. And that's why Riedel and Schatzweizen and all these great glassware, I mean, they have three glasses for water. So they're motivated to have the perfect kind of a thing, because that's their business. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Today, the sound of clinking glasses is a sign of gesture, of celebration, camaraderie, and making it an integral part of wine culture. And that's your splash.
And that's why Jimmy is the viceroy of the Wine Academy of Utah.
That's right.
You can find his wonderful works at wineacademyofutah.com. Right there. I want to thank our guest, Diana Young, Vice President of Strategic Partnerships for Prince Perelson.
Thank you for having me.
And if you want to, if you're looking for a position, you might want to contact Prince Perelson.
www.perelson.com.
All right. That's it. I want to thank all of you guys for listening. Thank you, Dawson, by the way, for being Dawson. I know you are you, and thank you for being you.
Thank you.
By the way, if you want to ask us any questions, we promise not to respond. No, we'll respond. The Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com is where you do that. I want to thank Beehive Cheese for providing us with some cheese. Thank you all, listeners and subscribers and viewers. And I think that's about it. Take it away, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Jimmy Santangelo. You can contact Jimmy at www.thewineacademyofutah.com. As for Bill Allred, it might be best to just leave him alone. Comments, questions, or angry complaints to the management should be directed to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show is produced by Dawson Dow. Our theme music was composed and recorded by Doug Wild. Recording facilities, as needed, are by the Visit Salt Lake Media Center at www.visitsaltlake.com. The show is a Double Plus production. I'm Zach Caton. I wish I had an alliterative name like Dawson. Dawson Dow. Dawson Dow. It just rolls off the tongue.